Okay, turn to Proverbs 4 and verse 6. I'm going to try to get through four verses tonight. Maybe it'll be only three, I'm not sure. Just depends on how long-winded I get. Proverbs 4, 6. So I'll read verse 5 and 6 to get the context here. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. So we looked at verse 5 last week to get wisdom, get understanding, and now we're told to forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee, referring to wisdom and understanding. So wisdom is not to be forsaken, and to forsake means to, there's actually a few different definitions here as you go down through them, and several of them really apply. To forsake primarily is to deny knowledge of, to deny, renounce, or repudiate allegiance to God, a Lord, etc. It's to decline or refuse something offered. It is to give up, renounce, to give up, part with, surrender, especially something dear or valued. And then it says passing into sense four, so we'll get to four in just a second. It's to break off from, renounce, an employment design, especially an evil practice or sin, also a belief, doctrine. And then fourthly, it is to abandon, leave entirely, withdraw from, especially to withdraw one's presence and help or companionship from, to desert. So if we kind of put all that into the definition of the word, if we substitute that, in other words, the Lord's telling us here to not deny wisdom's commandments, give up on her, or leave her. So you want to hold on to it, basically. You don't want to give it up for anything. You don't want to let it slip. You want to hold on to it. We want to be steadfast, as the Bible tells us, and established in the faith. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. And the closer to the end of time that we get, the more important these exhortations are to hold fast to the faith. Because if you haven't noticed, there's been quite an assault going on of the faith, not only just an assault of our liberties and of our country, but really what I think what these assaults are at the heart of them is really an assault against Christianity. Because Christianity is the foundation of Western civilization, and you notice they're trying to take away all of the remnants, all of the history of Western civilization, destroying all the monuments and statues and things like that. And what they're really trying to do is to get really at the root of it and to root out Christianity. And that's why it's so important to stay steadfast and established in the faith. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And that's right there, the second part of that is an exhortation against the trick of the devil, because the devil would want us to think that our labor is in vain. He wants you to think, you're wasting your time. You're not getting anywhere. What's the point, right? You got such a little church. Your church doesn't have any influence. Nobody knows about it. What's the point? Why keep going? You know, you think God really cares if you get together with a few people and sing some hymns and hear a sermon. Just give it up, right? It doesn't matter. But our labor is not in vain. We want to be steadfast and established, unmovable. In other words, don't forsake the faith. There's a promise then attached to that. So forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. So if wisdom's not forsaken, then she will preserve us. So you take care of her, she takes care of you. To preserve is to keep safe from harm or injury, to keep in safety, save, take care of, guard. So wisdom will do this, keep you safe, that is, in two different ways. God, who is wisdom, right? Jesus Christ is called the wisdom of God. So God will providentially protect us when we're following him and we haven't forsaken his word. So he'll step in like he did with Daniel in the lion's den, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, or any number of times God did with the nation of Israel, how he just directly intervened and he took care of them. He protected them from their enemies. He provided for their needs whenever it looked hopeless. So God can step in and preserve us if we don't forsake wisdom. But then secondly, wisdom will also keep us safe from harm by enabling us to make good decisions. And I give you some examples of that here. Like staying away from wicked men and strange women, Remember Proverbs chapter 2, we looked at that, that's why Solomon wrote to his son to exhort him to get wisdom, to be delivered from the wicked man and the strange woman. So if you stay away from the wicked man, then you're going to be saved from robbery, maybe, or rioting, or things that wicked people would do, and you would end up going along with them. Or if you stay away from the strange woman, then you're going to stay away from STDs, or children out of wedlock, or heartache, or all those kind of things. So that's just one example of how, if you forsake not wisdom, and you listen to what God says about who you hang out with, then wisdom preserves you, saves you from a lot of stuff. Or abstaining from fornication and adultery, right? That preserves you from ruining your life, ruining your family, right? Or abstaining from drunkenness and drug use. You know, that preserves you from bodily injury or job loss or DUI, right? So when you pay attention to what God says and you hold on to that and you don't transgress his commandments, then there's salvations in there. Or staying out of debt. That preserves you from poverty and stress, right? Those kind of things. Or saving for the future so you don't have to depend on others. And then that preserves us from shame or from being a burden on family or society. So all these things, if we pay attention to what God says, if we hold on to wisdom and don't let it go and apply that wisdom in our lives, then we don't have to be subject to all of the natural consequences that result in doing things contrary to the way that God says to do it. Or then just in general, saying no to people and things that are a waste of our time. That preserves us from wasting our lives. And there's a lot of people out there that, if you give them the opportunity, will waste your time and drag you all over the place doing all kinds of things, or just psychologically and emotionally will waste your life. So wisdom teaches us how to avoid people like that. I think sometimes Christians think that we ought to pray that just everybody and anybody should come to us for help and to learn about the truth, but yet God says that we should pray that the word of the Lord has free course and be glorified, and that we be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. So there's some people that we don't want to be delivered to. We want to be delivered from. We don't want to be entangled up with them. And then the second half of the verse, love her and she shall keep thee. So to love is to bear love to entertain a great affection or regard for, to hold dear. So you can think about this easily, like if the love you have for your spouse or for your child or for your parents or brothers or sisters or people like that. But think about that same love that you feel for them is the same type of feeling that you should feel for wisdom, for God's word in the way that he says that we ought to live. We should love the word of God because that's where wisdom comes from. Psalm 119 and verse 97. If you want to love wisdom, you have to love the source of wisdom, which is the scriptures. Psalm 119 and verse 97, the psalmist says, "Oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day." And that's how you can know that you really love something. Because you remember back when you were in love, you know, as they say, right? When you first met your would-be spouse or a girlfriend that you used to have or whatever, and you can't stop thinking about that person and they're on your mind constantly, right? And you can't ever get anything done, and right? Well, that's because you love them, or could be just infatuation. But anyway, you had that feeling, like, of love toward them, because that person took up all your thoughts. Well, you know you love the scripture when it's your meditation all the day. Now, we have to work and we have to do things, and you can't be meditating on the scripture at all times, especially if you have a mental job where you got to be thinking about what you're doing. But throughout the day, we should be thinking about the Lord and his word. And it's pretty easy to do if you think about it. I mean, all you got to do is just a nice sunny day, and you look up and you just think, wow, this is a beautiful creation that God made. And you're driving down the road and you see a deer or a raccoon, and you just think, wow, that's what an amazing creature. God made that, right? Or trees or anything. I mean, there's just so many things that you can think about the Lord and his word. So if we have great affection and regard for wisdom, then wisdom will reciprocate and protect us just like a husband does his wife, right? So the genders are kind of reversed here because wisdom is a she, in this it's in the feminine gender here, and wisdom is the one that's protecting us, whereas in our lives it would be the husband's the one that's protecting the wife and keeping her. But you get the point, right? If a woman loves her husband is going to reciprocate, and he's going to keep her and protect her and take care of her. It's the same way with God's wisdom. So those who love God's word will be kept in peace. This is one way that wisdom will keep thee in peace. Psalm 119 and verse 65. 165, thank you. Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So if you're one of these people that gets easily offended by every little thing somebody says, then chances are you probably don't love the law of God enough. Because if you love the law of God, you're going to have great peace and you're not going to be offended. So that's something that people that are easily offended should work on, because we shouldn't be. We should, you know, take things in stride and realize when somebody says something mean to us that we've probably done the same thing to them, and we shouldn't take such offense at every little thing. And then Isaiah 26 and verse 3. I mean, think about it. Great peace have all they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And think about the culture, the climate that we currently live in, where everybody is offended by everything. Or supposedly offended anyway. A lot of it's just feigned outrage. But these snowflakes are offended about everything. And I mean, the names of the sports teams all have to be changed if they have anything to do with Indians or whatever. And you know what that tells me? Those people don't love the law of God, because they are super easily offended. And you know what you do with people like that? Just offend them. Keep offending them. They need a little exercise in learning how to not be offended. Yes. Isaiah 26 and verse 3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." So if your mind is stayed on God, he'll keep you in perfect peace. "Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee." She shall keep thee in perfect peace whenever your mind is stayed on wisdom, on God's word, on God himself. So you follow wisdom, and she will make sure that you're taken care of, in other words. And that takes care of the first verse for tonight.